I, James, founded and work for HPI, but do not represent them or any of their opinions.
Welcome to Season 8, Episode 309 of the Frillo Bros Tech Podcast. Today is October the 17th, 2017. Every week, we definitively answer one question about the future of tech. To do that, we take into account many factors, including the companies involved, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and of course, the technology they're developing. I'm Matthew Dean Frillo, and using Slack to alert everybody that it's his birthday this week is my brother James Frillo.
That's right. That's right. It's the 18th, and don't you forget, and I think I got my birthday present early this year. I am at my new standing desk.
I noticed. You seem positioned differently. If you're listening to this, go check out our video. His posture is better.
I'm standing, and I've got my shelves here. You can finally see those, and you can actually see the wall that normally you never see because I'm right. Facing it. I'm on the other side of the room, so I'm now looking out the window.
The lighting's way better.
The lighting's, I don't know about that, but I do have a new light rope or switch thing. Oh, gosh, I'm totally blanking on what you would call that.
Strand?
A strip light.
An LED strip? That's what it's called.
Yeah. It's a Philips Hue thing. So I think I can give it instructions where I say, "Hey Siri, turn my desk light red." Gosh, I really hope that'll work. I have no idea. I like it. Both my phone and iPad are trying to work. Hey!
Yeah, there we go.
You
don't seem to be connected to the internet.
Yeah, I'm not connected to the internet. I put them on airplane mode so I can get my earbuds to work with my computer. Otherwise,
just works, right?
So it's super cool. So I've got red lights and white lights, and I've got it actually tied to when I turn on my my office light, it automatically turns on my desk light, and so it's all through HomeKit. It's awesome. Some might say it's artificially intelligent. Not really.
That's apropos. Oh wait, no.
I was trying to connect it to what we're going to talk about today.
Well, what are we talking about?
Yeah, what are we going to talk about? Here, I'll tell you. We're going to talk about Google.
Nice.
And their hardware and their what is turning into an annual event, which makes me question my Apple loyalties. So that's what we're going to talk about, and specifically the question we're going to try to answer. And I'm going to switch my lights in the background while we dive into this because I'm super dark now. It says, obviously, Google's hardware is more than a hobby now, because that was kind of the question last year. Is like, well, what is this? Is this a one-off thing that'll never happen again? No, it seems like it's here. It's legitimate. It's here to stay. But is it enough to be successful? Yeah. And we both definitely have thoughts about that. So, Matthew, what'd they come out with? And give us the down low.
A little background. So this is a couple
of
weeks ago.
DL, right? Down low? Yeah, that's right.
So this is a couple of weeks ago. So I'm not going to go and run through everything, single spec that they gave on every single thing. Go look it up if you're interested. But I do want to, there was definitely a context in which Google presented what they were presenting. And it's this idea of they're focusing on their core competency, which they believe is artificial intelligence and machine learning. So each of these pieces of hardware show off some aspect of that. We'll start with their new phones, the Pixel 2 and the Pixel XL.
Yeah, and I actually, I thought it was interesting. A, it took them way too many speakers to actually introduce their first product. I was just like, okay, first we got the CEO, then we got this guy. It was like the fourth person was finally like, and something new. But I actually, as a marketer, I love their tagline of they're trying to create devices that are radically helpful.
Yeah.
And they kept saying over and over and over, hardware, software, artificial intelligence. I'm like, this type of software. But anyways.
So, you know, the basics on this thing, on these new phones, number one, no headphone jacks. So evidently Apple's been vindicated. But one of the big areas where they're really showing off their machine learning prowess is they're continuing to move forward in the cameras. They've introduced a portrait mode, which is one of the things that Apple has. And the interesting part about portrait mode is that it requires a depth of field understanding. You need to be able to see, you need to be able to differentiate the background from the subject, which requires machine learning. And it requires you to be able to see depth, so that you can actually measure those different things. Both cameras only have a single sensor on them. They only have one lens. Apple achieves it with two lenses. But Google is using this kind of cool trick that's similar to a what are those cameras called? I can't remember the name of them. Doesn't matter. But they're basically each pixel is split in half, and so that tiny slight offset in pixels using some pretty complicated math and machine learning allows you to actually develop the entire depth fields so that they can do the blurring effect in post.
Cool.
Yeah, it's an impressive feat that they've accomplished, and they're doing some neat stuff with the with their camera and on the phones.
Yeah. And all the reviews I've read are like, yeah, it's legitimate. They're genuinely are taking good photos. They've got the bokeh effects going really well, and they had a slight dig too on the different phone sizes. We're like, it's the exact same camera on both sides. Take that. Might as well. They made fun of Apple last year for getting rid of the thing is called,
the
headphone jack. So we'll have some dual lenses next year. It'll be great.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Everybody else is stupid until you
totally
do it.
Totally.
And then you did it better, which is why you waited
naturally.
So then the next one that got kind of really kind of surprised people was the big surprise, Google Clips. It's a clippable camera. It's small. Yeah. It is primarily AI driven. It has one button on it that allows you to click a picture, but there is no viewfinder on it. So you can't preview the picture it's going to take. And most importantly, it takes pictures on its own. It looks at subjects. It looks around at the world, and it uses an onboard chip by Movibius, which is the same chip that they use like on the Tango for depth sensing, world sensing stuff. It uses all that artificial intelligence.
So I wasn't clear. Is it like, and the reason why I'm going to bring this up is GoPro lost about $65 million worth of value thanks to Google. And so is it like, can you take it in a shower? Is it waterproof and dump proof and things like that? I mean, from the videos they were showing, I don't think so.
That would be
awesome if it was, right? If you were, I'm like, I'm just out on a hike or taking a vacation and it saves the cool stuff. Like that would be awesome.
If we're fair, many of the GoPros aren't waterproof either, and they require special cases. So
Okay. Cause I just like, cause that's the big knock against like GoPros. I'm like, you get 12 hours footage of boring stuff. So you can find the 12 seconds of awesome things that you did. Like mountain bike riders suffer from this all the time. And that'd be cool if it like automatically says, no, this is the cool 12 seconds.
Which is what it's supposedly can do.
Yeah, so that sounds awesome.
This seems like it's very much an experiment.
But an awesome experiment.
Yeah, it's kind of expensive, but I think the nice part about being as expensive as it is that it's a much smaller people who want to actually try it out. You're not going to get people who are going to buy it that are going to be like, wait, there's no viewfinder.
You know, I was having this thought. So like one of the things we did in our wedding was we had camcorders, like think camcorders that we floated around and people could leave messages. And yeah. it was fun to go back and watch and listen and hear the personalized messages from people. And I'm like, I don't know how you would do that today. Because there's something fun about like the viewfinder. And that's actually what I kept coming back to. I'm like, I would like to know if it's, that I'm getting what I think I'm getting, which I fully understand. Like an option would be to announce to everybody, take out your phone, leave me a message, and then text it to me. But I don't know, just something about the idea of like this floating camera and I was wondering like, could something like this work? And I think the answer is no. It'd be fun to have it.
Yeah. Well, this thing,
it's B-roll.
This thing has a button. So you could intentionally go through and make it.
But it doesn't, does it do video? I thought it was like, just pictures with 7-second clips or something like that.
I think
no sound, if I remember correctly. But
yeah, I believe you're right.
Right.
But yeah, so that was
early experiment, but interesting. Yeah. And an example of them saying AI first. What could AI do?
Yeah, exactly. How could we rethink a product category if we were to put AI into it?
And then you have to go through and manually upload whichever ones you choose to keep, which no one will do ever. But
exactly.
Interesting idea.
So exactly. So Google Home came out with two new pieces of hardware.
Oh my gosh, so AI cool.
Into the home. So one is the Mini. It's a $49 little puck. It's designed to compete directly with the Echo Dot. And then they also have the Home Max, which is a $399 large speaker. It's not an exceptional speaker. It won't replace your sound
really? Systems.
That's kind of what they're saying is it's good, but it's like if you spent $400 on like a sound bar, you'd have a much better sound system, and you can't.
I feel like that's the argument for like will eventually be the argument for Apple's thing. That's probably an argument for some of Sonos's stuff. I don't know. I'm like, well, there's a premium for it to be able to talk to the internet. Sorry, guys.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and I think Apple's HomePod idea is that it is supposed to be a sound system replacement. It's actually if you get two of them, which is very expensive, you get like, it costs like $800.
So yeah.
But you're starting to get into the equivalent of like a $3,000-$4,000 sound system. The argument that Apple's going to make is ours is very expensive, but it's cheaper than an equivalent sound system. Whereas Google is making the argument that ours is as expensive as a higher quality sound system, but it has the internet and it has AI.
Yeah.
Or at least that's how it's been presented. I mean, Google, obviously, they're going to do a better job than pitching.
I guess if I'm honest, for me personally, like the Mini is super interesting. They got to figure out the whole touch thing. I heard that's a bit of an issue where it was doing phantom touches and sending thousands of little bytes to Google. And they were like, we're going to unenable that.
Yeah, we're turning that off. It's done.
Yeah. Until we could figure it out, which I'm like, I would not sell it until I figure it out. But that's just me. I also get people already pre-ordered. But that's super interesting to me where it's like, it's not really about the music. It's about having the assistant there and being able to talk to it, just like the Dot. But I don't know. I think about like how I use the Echo, and I primarily like number one use case, music. I'm just like, Alexa. Yeah, we're good. It's not in here. I get all concerned when you say it. And, it's play music, play me this, play me that, play whatever. And usually it's like some sort of genre thing. I'm just looking for background music. It's like amazing for that. And then like number two is set alarms. And then every once in a while it's gimmicky type of like, let's play Jeopardy. And usually that's when someone's visiting.
Right.
But I don't know. I just like the idea of being able to just like do audio searches.
Maybe that's cool. We have a Dot and we use it primarily as a really expensive light switch.
There you go. That would be my other use case.
Which is where the Google Home, I think, would actually be. The Mini would be nice.
Right. Because I've thought about having something in like our bedroom, or I've even thought like, oh, it'd be sweet to have it in the office. I don't totally know what I would do because I would probably just search for something because I'm sitting in front of my computer. But I don't know. I like that idea. Maybe just ambient background noise. But
so I kind of want a HomePod.
Like, you're that guy.
I know. I'm just like, I can't help myself.
Well, you're also in the Apple ecosystem. And this is, and it's things like this where I'm like, man, if I was deeper in the Google ecosystem,
I'd
be all over $50. Yeah, I'd go get five of them. No question.
Yeah, definitely. And which is what they want. And they probably will sell quite a few of them. So they also announced that during the announcement, they announced a Pixelbook.
Help me out here. So it's a Chromebook? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a Chromebook.
Okay.
It's Chrome, but it's got the specs and the price of a MacBook is what they're going.
Yeah, I noticed.
So it's an i7 processor, 512 gigs of storage, 16 gigs of RAM, a 1600.
Who is that for?
I don't know.
Okay, sweet. I'm just like, I'm trying to envision a situation where, I mean, this has always been the crux of a Chromebook type of argument where you're like, dude, I get that it's a fancy web browser and it works really well, but like, I just would get a computer and then open up my web browser. And if I'm going to get something that expensive, like I totally get it for like schools, right? We're going to spend $200. We're going to be able to lock it all down. Kids can't download antivirus, blah, blah, blah. Totally on board with that. I totally get that.
There's only one explanation I could come up with for this. And that's, they're buying it themselves. They've got engineers internally that want a super end, super high end computer, and they're going to dual boot it with a Linux backend. And they just, they don't want Apple's hardware. They want their own hardware, and they're going to, and they're toys for the engineers. And they're like, well, we're building them for ourselves, so we might as well sell them too. And if you're willing to pay that, you know, we're not going to sell them at a loss, whatever, you know. They're just, that's what it feels like to me. It doesn't feel, that's what it feels like to me.
I put it in like, it's that weird, like, it's kind of in that same category as the clips, where you're like, interesting. It's not an experiment necessarily, because there's already been so much done with computers and notebooks that you're like, it's not that.
They've already sold and discontinued a $1,000 plus Pixel.
That's right.
Chromebook.
That's right.
So this is just
something like, about it.
I don't know. They also, they came out with a new Daydream for your, which is their Google.
Is it new?
Well, yeah, not really. It looks exactly.
It looks just as cool as the other one.
Yeah, it's got a little bit bigger field of view, is all, a little bit better lens. That's the big deal, and it's more expensive.
I do like it's got a strap, an optional strap across the top of your head. I feel like that's it's a good thing. That we wouldn't have to be as tight around here. I like that. But
and then the last big one is they came out with a pair of wireless earbuds.
Earbuds.
And there's a big debate of whether they're wireless earbuds or Bluetooth earbuds, because technically,
what's the difference?
There's a wire that connects them between your neck, behind your neck, like yours. There's a wire there. So are they wireless? Where is like Apple's AirPods?
Really?
Apple's AirPods have
really?
No wires. Those are truly wireless headphones.
You know, I love tech people.
I know. Because
part of like the number one thing, the nitpick, and we're going to put it in the nitpick category with like the Pixel 2, like it's got a really big bezel.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Great guys. That's fantastic. Like that's your number one beef with this thing. It has a bezel, really.
Everything,
and it's like this one, right? Yeah. It has wires, which I'll admit, I wish I didn't have a wire on mine. But Bluetooth. Well, I don't know. I call mine Bluetooth. I don't call it wireless. But.
Well, and one of the cool things that they do with the wire is that there's an adjustment on it that actually is designed so that you can like open. You can basically like expand the loop around the ear and make it fit into your ears better. So they're supposedly really comfortable and get in there pretty slow. You can like tap it and flick it to control it. It's really designed to work with the Pixel 2. That's where a lot of the extra functionality shines.
For example,
instant translations. They use their artificial intelligence.
Which seems awesome.
It's a neat little trick. So if you're on vacation in Italy and you want to ask the bartender for a drink,
hypothetically, you could just take Italian for a couple of years. That's an option.
It's not a good option. It is great. It's a great option. Do it. That's my option. I have an iPhone. So well, it's funny because it's like I have Google Translate on my iPhone and I use it for Italian all the time and for classes and practice and stuff. And I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, but we already have this basic functionality. I'm not exactly sure why it's, I guess it's because you can like, there's a gesture. And so it automatically, if like, or it's like a gesture and a phrase and it will automatically translate for you. It'll open up the app on your phone, but you still require the phone because you need to hand the phone to the person that you're talking to and they'll talk through it. But whatever.
Well, yeah, it semi reminds me of like the dream of Google Glass, of this idea of like get off your phone and interact with a person, look them in the eyes, and you know, have a more natural conversation.
Which
that's kind of, hey, dude, it's awesome, right? That's Star Trek. That's like they put the little clip on, and all of a sudden, like you can understand each other. Like that's not that, but like that's that.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a real good idea. I mean, they're moving in the right direction. I think it's cool, but
I think it's awesome. Could you imagine I think about, just think about construction in general, right? Like I know two guys right now, they're contractors. They build houses and they've got a couple guys working for them that do not speak English and they do not speak Spanish. I'm like, dude, for something like this,
yeah,
this would be perfect.
I would be huge.
They could just give them instructions and
my question, and I come back to this is, how is this significantly better than just having Google Translate open on your phone? which already does it. It reminds reminds me of Force Touch, which there is like
it turns out long press is exactly the same thing.
Yeah, the only time that the only place where I can't figure out how a long touch could you could get away with just the long touch is force pressing on the keyboard and turning that into a cursor. That is literally the only place in the entire operating system where I'm like, I actually use that functionality and it can't be replaced by a long touch. I get the same feeling with this one. I just don't understand why a pair of headphones and Google Translate.
Because it's awesome, okay? Just relax.
Yeah, all right, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's, and that's not a criticism of Google's Translate, because their Translate thing, that, I guess that's the thing. That is the truly amazing, remarkable, powerful piece of technology. The headphones, okay, they're headphones. But before we get into too much more analysis,
oh man,
we gotta talk ads this week. This episode is brought to you by China. Nobody's going to China. We thought somebody was going
yet.
To China.
Yet.
Yeah. But
I'm not going yet.
Yeah, I'm not going yet either. I was going to
go. Going.
I in like an hour or two, I was gonna have to be on a car to the airport, but
so this ad is almost brought to you, not quite yet.
So anyways, if you get an opportunity to go out and get a China, they're pretty good.
Yeah, China's, that's the way to go.
Yeah,
not just for dishes. That's the hashtag.
So is this gonna be a success, James? Are they gonna
here's my issue with Google is they remind me of a starving artist. That's Google in my head, where like, so an artist, starving artist to be more specific, which one could argue, are you really an artist if you're starving? But anyways, we're not going to go too deep into that.
Some argue you can't be an artist unless you're starving.
So, and I would fundamentally reverse disagree with that. But anyways, so artist like shit. Yeah, they do. If you're not doing it, it's just a hobby. All right. So anyways, some things that artists will say is, I don't want to sell out. Or, and here's my favorite, and I think this is where Google falls into it. If my art is good, it'll market itself.
Yeah.
And that's Google. They like their whole thing, and this is what happened last year, and they're going to do it again this year, is we're going to make some awesome, cool, utilitarian like things, and then we're not going to merchandise it. We're not going to advertise it. Like for reals, we're not going to get it into stores. We're not going to sell it. And I mean, the guy made a joke in the middle of his thing about it. Yeah, the Pixel was great. We just would have wished we sold more of them. You know, and you're like, guys, like that's not funny. I mean, it is.
Yeah. But I'm not a shareholder, so I'm laughing. If I were a shareholder, I'd want to run up there and punch in the face.
And it's like, and I mean, and they'll come out and say like, well, we're not trying to compete with Samsung and trying to have the biggest market share. We're trying to show like, here's what it could be. And you're like, okay, cool. But like sell the thing, like make it to sell. And which they're like, yeah, 5 years from now, that's where we want to be, which is like another thing that artists will say, you know, I just want to get into the gallery and then it'll go from there, you know? And it's always just like this thing that's out there. And so I what they're doing, honestly, it's awesome. I love this idea where they've crystallized on this idea of artificial intelligence, and they start every single conversation with that. How can AI make this better? How can we improve upon it? And then they start from there and they go out.
Yeah.
And they've realized, to fully realize some of their AI dreams, they have to control both the software and the hardware. And that's out of a necessity, and they get it. And this stuff is cool. And then they treat it like their search box, where like they just kind of made an awesome search engine and people just kind of showed up. They made this Gmail thing and people just kind of signed up. You know, there was this thing called YouTube that they ended up buying that people just kind of showed up. And so they've got the same thought with these phones all the devices, where they're like, yeah, we're going to make them and people just kind of show up and buy them. And it turns out, when you got to spend money, it's a little different. Yeah, situation. Well, and it's like they haven't figured that out yet.
And not to mention, I think one of the other big things is that at the time they had this dramatically different approach to searching than everybody else in the market. So it was a dramatically better experience.
Fair enough. Yes.
And YouTube, all the other videos players out there were terrible. Maps, MapQuest, didn't get it right. Like,
yeah, that's true.
You know, it would give you bad directions.
I was on a website just earlier this week looking at a map, and it was like, go to our map thing. And it took me to MapQuest. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, that's still around? What is this?
And my thing is the problem, one of the issues that they have is that this is not a market that is for lack of competition. Samsung builds great hardware. Apple builds a great stack, and they're not messing around with AI anymore. Like, they're full on board of, no, we want AI to work well and to be highly integrated.
It's for the record, it's Google's on a different playing field, in my opinion, right, when it comes to AI. But
definitely.
Completely agree. To the average person, no difference.
But the thing is that nobody was doing what Google Search was doing when they came into the market.
That's true.
So they screamed, and I think in a lot of these, it's like, I don't know. I'm going to give us a more concrete thing. To me, I'm going to define the question of what does it mean to be successful? I proposed this question to my girlfriend, and she asked, well, what does that mean? Will they be successful? And I was like, that's actually a good question. I'm going to set the bar kind of high. I'm going to say first or second in each category. You got to be the number one or number two in each of these categories. I think that's really easy for like the Google Home, Google Max, because
yeah, there'll be one or two
category.
It's easy.
There's last place is second place. I think the Pixel Buds will not succeed.
I don't know how I feel about that statement. If I was in the Android camp right now and I was going for a phone, I would get a Pixel. There's absolutely no question in my mind.
No, but the Pixel Buds.
And I know. Okay. And if I was getting a Pixel thing and I was going to get the earphones, which I like think about all the time more than I should, which means I'll probably get some AirPods someday. Like, I would get a Pixel Bud. If I was going to get any sort of Bluetooth thing, I would get a Pixel Bud. If I don't have a Pixel, I'm not buying the Buds.
I'm gonna wiggle here. I think that Apple did a better job with the Air Buds than Google did with the Pixel Buds.
Air Bud.
And they
basketball.
What are they called? What am I getting wrong here?
AirPods.
There we go.
I don't know. AirBuds. Yeah, you know they had a meeting about that, and someone we can't. That's already taken.
Yeah.
That's a movie.
No, we could get the rights to that. No, you don't understand. We can't call it that.
It's already grounded in a thought that all of our target market grew up kind of watching, even though they wouldn't admit it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Right. So yeah. So I think that the AirPods are not. I don't think the AirPods will qualify. I don't think they would be successful in the way that I'm defining success.
Okay. Well,
I don't think that the AirPods will move into that giant.
Do you think anyone who buys a Pixel Bud will love it? Because I know I've talked to multiple people who own AirPods, and all of them are like, I can't go back. They're like, this is an amazing experience. Do you think that would be the same thing with the Pixel Buds?
I don't know.
Now, I know the big thing for Apple is like, it'll sync with your iPhone, with your iPad, with your computer, with whatever. Like, and that's like the big thing. And it, like with the Pixel Buds, it's less like that.
Google
doesn't have the same ecosystem.
I also suspect Google's going to cut themselves off at the knees and basically be like, "Hey, this is how you replicate this to other consumers."
Dude. That's the thing they do. Well, that's part of their thing, right? We're trying to be an example, so please copy us.
And I think that the Pixel and the Pixel 2, or the Pixel 2 and the Pixel 2 XL, I don't think it stands a chance of honestly competing with Apple and Samsung, you know, on a market share level.
Well, that's because Samsung is just going to go, we'll drop our price $50, game over.
Right, exactly.
They don't care about making money.
Exactly. Whereas I think the Google Clips, I think that stands an actual chance of, you know, there's...
Really?
There's,
that's
I think
the one I'm like, they're going to sell like 50 of them. All right. More than
I don't
that.
Know.
But you know what I mean.
I think it's a flip of the coin. I think if it shows some really promising results and you get it in the hands of the right vocal advocates, I think it could catch on like crazy.
Maybe.
Especially because they do all the AI internally, which would have been the biggest the biggest shortcoming of it would have been if everything you ever recorded was being sent to a server. Since that's not the case, I don't think it has a lot of the pitfalls. And well, it depends.
Other than you're going to, after whatever you do, you're going to have to go and select things to then upload to the cloud. Right. And that's a task that, yeah, that's going to be fun once or twice. And then you're never going to do it again. And then what you're going to do is a month goes by, you're going to log in and go, oh my gosh, there's 10,000 photos.
I think it depends entirely on how well it performs. If it doesn't perform well, I think you're right. It'll be a disaster. But if it does what they're hoping it will do, I think it could be a screaming success.
All right.
And I realize that that's a, I will say this, I only give it like a 35-40% chance of doing what they want it to do. But if it does that, I think that this could be the one that just breaks out and really surprises everybody.
Okay. All right, so those are, we're going to ignore the Daydream and Pixel Book. So we know the answer for those. Daydream's cool, Pixel Book, eh. So what do you think? So, you know, final thoughts here. Do you think they're going to be successful? Do you think internally they're going to get to the end of this year and go, yeah, cool, we met our internal metrics and goals, and obviously externally they're going to be like, it was amazing. But you know what I mean? Do you think internally they'll go, yeah, this was a success? I know for me, it makes me question my loyalty every single time.
I think for the home stuff, I think the answer is going to be yes. You'll see more of those in a growing.
I agree. Especially with their partnership with Nest, even though it's kind of like, wait, yeah. What? You own them.
Right.
that's just weird, but I get it.
I think the Pixel Buds, you'll probably, I don't know. I think you, if they update them, you'll see big changes in the categories where they weren't.
Yeah. Okay.
Satisfied. Like, I think the Pixel Buds will make it another year, but you'll see a major shift in design and how they work. I think the Daydream is still on they're still trying to figure out what to do with that. And that's, they're teeing up for a big design change on that. And I think the phones, there's not a lot left to do in the phones. They're just trying to keep a flagship phone in their arsenal for now. Whereas I think the home stuff, those you'll see very consistent. They'll stay similarly designed because I think they are going to be successful.
And I think what you're going to see, just to build upon it, I think you're right with all of that. And I think you will continue to see their focus on AI, and they're going to make iterative hardware improvements because you need to.
Yeah.
Because if it looks exactly the same, you're not going to sell it. The focus is all going to be on the AI improvements. And for me, it's going to be like, man, where does this tip of scale where you're just like, man, that is so cool. Like, I have to have this feature.
We are barreling towards a day where that is the case. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they'll hit it with their home stuff first, honestly. I love, too, like, they did something that I'd be like, Apple, just come on, Apple, where they're like, the assistant is the assistant everywhere. It's the same thing. You can ask it the same questions. It's the same thing on all devices, no matter what. I'm like, yeah, that's great. Apple, like, pay attention. Make Siri the same everywhere. Give it the same capabilities. I know, different form factors, whatever. Like, but just... let me figure out the best use case. Don't you figure it out for me.
Yeah.
So Google does that right. I appreciate that.
I agree.
And that's cool. Well, cool, man. Google. Question my loyalty every single time.
Then let's ask this question to the audience. Are you questioning your loyalty, or are you doubling down on your loyalty if you're already a Google fan?
Yeah.
Does this allure you to the that side of the
dark side? I mean, it's not the dark side, the colorful side.
I almost called it the dark side, and I was like,
it's not the dark side.
Yeah,
I like Google.
I like Google too.
I do. Yeah, great question. So leave a comment either on the blog or on Facebook or on the Twitters. You can even call us directly if you happen to have that. Mm-hmm. We know we got one guy who does, so that's awesome. So on that note, thanks for joining us, everybody. We really do appreciate it. You can check out all the links and the notes on furloughbros.com/309. We got a bunch of people who we want to say thank you to. James Vincent, that's me. James Vincent Furlow. Is there another James Vincent out there?
He happens to be an author for The Verge, but yes.
Excellent. Excellent. I like his name. Then we got another James, James Barham, and then Andrew Tarantola. And so thanks, guys, for your contributions and for doing the primary reporting so that we can make comments off of you. We totally appreciate it. If you love this show, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and on Google Play as well. And this podcast is sponsored by you, the listener, and China. Go get a China. And with that, I am James Furlow, and my brother is... I don't remember at all. What the... Oh, yeah, yeah. My already birthdayed brother is Matthew Furlow. So we will talk next time. Thank you.